give all our fathers a big hand. Amen. Happy Father's Day. And our Heavenly Father is so worthy, isn't He? And what we would do for Him today would be a blessing to Him, is if we'll just pay attention to who He says we are. Listen to what He's saying to us. You ever had your parent tell you, listen to me? The Lord's saying, if you'll pay attention to what I'm saying, you're going to find out how powerful you are. And I'm proud of all my kids. I can just hear Daddy talking that right now. And I've come to realize that if you really want to tune up, amen, the volume on your hearing, you need to forgive and get offenses out of your spirit. Whether, you know, it's black, white, red, yellow, brown, Daddy wants us to forgive our brothers and sisters so that He can talk to us about His great big plan for us being His family. And whether we're sinner or saint, He still paid for us. He's our daddy. Amen. So let Him talk to you today about who you are and His plans for you, because you would just make Daddy so happy if you would listen to what He's saying. Amen. And so I appreciate the amens on that. And it's important that we get those out. And to the parents that's got children and you're sitting in the service, thank you for being here. If you could just bear with us, and if your children get a little unrested or frustrated, if you would ease out into the foyer area, we'll have this volume up out there so you can hear the message. Can you work with us on that? Amen. We're still trying to follow our magistrates and follow protocol. And so hopefully here in the next week or two, we'll be moving our kids into a safe zone where they can enjoy being together and get Jesus on the level they're supposed to be. But they can get Him in here. Amen. The dynamics, the presence of God is real. And I thank God for His presence. And thank God for you parents for being parents. Amen. I remember when me and my wife started the parent thing, we were wet behind the ears. We didn't know nothing. But we had a couple of children, and then we had three children, and here we are. And it's like we're pros at it. Nope, we missed the mark more than we want to talk about, but we get to talk about it today and encourage all of our parents to know you're powerful. Your children have great big plans, amen, in their life, and God has plans for them. And we want to make sure we open up the door for them to be blessed, and we want to bless our parents today and say thank you again for being God's chosen to serve as you do. I know some of you are thinking, man, I'm be happy when this pandemic and all this social distancing ceases. Do you have a greater respect for the school teachers? All of a sudden, the school teachers are saying, man, this might work out to our advantage. Appreciation has a way of getting around on it. Amen. But before I get into the message, I want to do something we always do, and that's pray for another church. Livingstone Church, Pastor Landon Kiker and family. Amen. Let's join together right now and thank the Lord for blessing them and using them today in our community. Father, amen, we thank you for letting us be connected with Livingstone and Pastor Landon Kiker. Amen. We're asking you right now to use the ministry and the church family there to impact the community. They're in the same community we're in, and you have a job that you are wanting to do today. You have something that you want to accomplish, and you won't do it without your church, your body, your representatives, your sons, your ambassadors. Boy, you set us up to have fun today. Now, work that miracle through Livingstone Church family in a special way. And thank you in advance for your encouragement and your big hug from heaven today at New Life Fellowship. And everybody say amen. 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 You know Daddy hears us, don't he? And we're getting testimonies of that. Well, it's evident that people have been put together in such a way that they can gather knowledge. And we have a choice to make, either to eat from knowledge or life. And I'm becoming more aware the older I get that I need to get my knowing from life. To try to get it from knowledge has caused me some challenges in life. Because the more knowledge I get, I become more intelligent. That don't mean that I'm very smart, though. So most of the time, we're very intelligent, we're just not smart. And the reason I can say that today is because I've made enough bad decisions and I had a lot of information before I made the decision. But after I made the decision, I found out because the fruit of that decision were consequences I really didn't want. But I go back and I rehearse making that decision over the knowledge I've had, and I had a pretty good bit of intelligent information there, but it didn't work out. Because I didn't spend the time enough to pause, as you hear me say often, for station identification. Tune in my frequency and ask the Lord, now, Lord, what do you think about this? And wait on him to talk and then say, Lord, now what you want me to do about it? Because when you live in the Spirit, God is encouraging us to walk in the Spirit. Can we all agree? Nobody's made any bad decisions of late. Don't raise your hand. And if you have, then you'll enjoy this thought today from heaven. We're talking about fear versus faith, or when fear and faith mix. Now, be sure you understand at the beginning of this message, it's not possible for fear and faith to mix. But if the enemy can get an in route into your life through offense or unforgiveness, he can sure enough shake up your little world. When you mix water and oil together, it gets cloudy, don't it? And you can't see much. His goal is to blindside you. His goal is to make you blind. And you can go to church and be blind. You can believe in Jesus, amen, from the world standard, and be blind. But the only way that I can get my sight back is I have to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So I encourage you today, on Father's Day, have an ear to what the Father is saying to you, amen? Because your potential from that moment forward depends on your willingness to say, you know what? I believe. And the moment you engage with what he's speaking into your life, you will stop him in his tracks. Amen? God is waiting on us to give him some indication that we're hearing what he's saying. And the way we give him that indication is we respond to what we're hearing, and it stops him, and then he'll ask you, what you want me to do? Whatever it is you want him to do, he's ready to give it to you because it's already yours. And if you're wanting to see, and we all need to have vision, don't we? Without vision, we perish. Amen? I need to be able to see. But faith does not come by seeing. Faith comes by. So what is the Spirit saying to the church? If I could get you to just pause long enough for this in just a moment and ask the Lord to help you. Just be real with him. Let the real you get honest with God so that he can take you into the true you. Amen? Be real with God and tell the truth. Lord, right now I'm kind of sideways with a few people, and I don't know what to do with it. And if you'll be honest about it and tell him, I can work with that. That's what he's saying. He's, I can work with that now. Just get honest with me. Be real. Be truthful about where you're at, and I'll give you a truth that will make you free. We could drop the mic right here and have an altar service. Because some of us do not know what to do with some of the relationship issues in our life. And until we get real with God and get honest and say, Little Lord, I don't know why I'm so offended, and I don't know why. I can tell you these things about them bother me a lot, and I can't tell you why that happens like that. When we get real and honest, that's where God meets us. And you shall know the truth. He'll get intimate with you right where you are, and he will give you a direct word that will change your present status, amen, of being offended, so that you can receive his love in such a way that you give that love to them and you give that mercy to them and you release them. And the moment they're released, you're released. And you can see again, all because you heard what Daddy was saying. In our world, there is a religious doctrine that's impacting Christianity called self-affirmation. Anybody heard of self-affirmation? Self-affirmation just simply means that you clean out your own house and try to keep the enemy out, basically. That's basically what it's saying. You sweep your own house, and then you work at trying to keep your house clean. But the problem with that is you never step into your true identity because you're working overtime to keep the enemy out. Your identity and your call to grander purpose is not keeping your house clean. Your call is to the great commission of baptizing and making disciples. And so the enemy will convince you, if you're not careful, that you're intelligent enough to actually keep your house swept out and the enemy out. But at the end of the day, you're wore out because you kept the house clean and you really didn't get nothing else done. And Jesus had something to say about that. He said, you can sweep the house out of the enemy, and guess what's going to happen? If you don't fill it with him, the enemy's coming back seven times worse. So your ability to make yourself a good person, it's impossible. Oh yeah, this is good today. Because the disciples actually believed in self-affirmation too. They worked hard to be good. Mm-hmm. It says it right here in Mark 26, reading from the New Living Translation. The disciples were astounded after Jesus got through telling them, you can't do it. Then notice what they said. Who in the world can be saved? They asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, I like this one, it's impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God. And Peter spake up and he said, we have given up everything to follow you. And some of us today need to decide, I'm giving it all up. I can't figure God out. I can't figure out how he's going to work in my life. And he's not asking you to try to figure it out. He's asking you to believe. And the thing he's asking you to believe is, what is he speaking to you right now? Faith comes by hearing. If you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. So it's my prayer today and my hope that you'll give up everything today and follow him. And your house will stay clean. Not only will it be clean, honey, Jesus will be in it. I just had that unction just then. It might cost me dearly. My wife loves a clean house. If I can somehow work and make it clean, it's a benefit when the house is clean. But to have a clean house and have Jesus Lord of that house, wow. Because your house is powerful to him. Your identity is significant to him. Amen? And so, spiritually speaking, without God, you have no hope. But with God, you're going to have a happy house. Amen? And you're going to be on point with him, on mark with his grander purpose. You know, as a teenager, David, King David, in the old, if you hadn't read this, I'll give you a few scriptures here to help you with it, is anointed king of Israel at a very early age, and as a teenager, around 15 or 16 years old. And he's anointed king not because he's better than anybody. This is when you look at it a little closer, you go like, oh my goodness, he was available. That's what attracted God to him. By the way, anybody that's available today, the Lord's ready to anoint you king. Because we're called by the Spirit, we're called kings and priests. But we must make ourselves available. Here in 1 Samuel 16:13, so as David stood there among his brothers, now keep in mind, all of his brothers had that same royalty on them, but they wasn't available. They were warriors. They look good. They look like they could be kings, but they were not available to host God's presence yet. And so David stood there among his brothers. Samuel took the flask of oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Underline that in your mind, from that day on. Now, in the original Hebrew, it says it this way, and when David was anointed king, the Holy Spirit rushed upon him. Now, I don't know about y'all, but the Lord wants to rush upon you right now to cause you to be who he says you are. And I know that several of us here today really don't have a lot of confidence in your true identity. Because all of us have heard the enemy speak through people that God loves and have said things about you that has kind of formed the way you perceive yourself and, amen, and manipulated the way you think about yourself to you know you need Jesus and you want to walk with him and you want to be a part of what he's doing, but you have little faith in who he says you are. And that's got to change. And it's going to change. Amen. In our world right now, we have a wonderful thing happening for God's purpose to be fulfilled. We're being challenged, amen, to shift our attention to Jesus Christ and not what's going on in our world. It's a vortex. It's a storm going on out there, isn't it? But when you get around the presence of God, it's like, whew, that feels so good. The presence of God is righteousness, which means innocence. You're innocent. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's who you are in God's lens. He set up a dynamic for you to step into that kind of climate, that kind of atmosphere, so that his kingdom culture can develop in you and make you into the true self that you're designed to be. It takes the presence of God to become who he says you are. And so we all want to be a witness to Christ, don't we? We all want to be a testimony of Jesus at work in our life. And just like David, when he was anointed by the prophet, the Holy Spirit rushed upon him. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit didn't fill people, but the Holy Spirit was with people. In the New Testament, after the death of Jesus Christ, he makes it clear, I'm with you right now, but I shall be in you. And isn't it interesting that on that feast day of Pentecost, where it was an invitation to all nations, that there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. They were available. 120 were available. Jesus was wanting to fill a whole earth, but 120 made themselves available. And not just one, but all 120 were anointed by God to be his kings and his priests. And he rushed up into them. Not just on them. He rushed into them. And out of their belly began to flow rivers of living water. And they began to talk the king's language. And the people that were around were wondering, what is going on here? Because all of a sudden, we've got 120 people that is not only the Spirit on them, the Spirit's in them. And out of them, the Spirit is speaking his will with prophetic utterances of how good God is. But Jesus told them, you can't be a witness to me until you're endowed with power. Did that make Jesus not like him because they hadn't been down? No, he loved everybody. He loves all of us right now. He loves me when I fuss with him. He loves me when I won't pray in the Spirit. He still loves me. When I act like I'm smart and I got God figured out and come check with me, I'm the Bible answer man, he still loves me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I could give, 30 days of Bible studies every day. And that's not pleasing to him because he wasn't included. He still loves me. Is anybody figuring out that God loves you regardless? You can just drop the ball, mess up, stumble, fall on your face. I love them. And if they'll ever pause long enough to let me talk to them about who they are, amen, I've got great plans for them. But in order for them to be who they're designed to be, they're going to need my spirit to empower them to be that. Because without me, they can do. They can play church. They can have a form of godliness and deny the power that would work through. Anybody tracking? You see how fear and faith, the enemy wants to take your faith and whack it out. What's he after? He's after your identity. Because your identity is that powerful. If he can steal from your identity, if he can make you think of yourself being less than who you are, he wins. Amen? Okay. And so, the moment we allow the Holy Spirit to rush up on us, we become empowered. Now, I like what Amy said about rest. Anybody want to rest? She said yesterday to the prayer team, oh my goodness, she said, I found out that, well, when we was practicing, amen, she said, I found out what rest means to me. It's to relax into something and let it support you. Relax into something and let it support you. Amen. The Lord's not asking you to do the work. He wants to do the work. He's asking for your availability. Here's the story of David in 1 Samuel 17, 20. David is relaxing in his identity, and he's allowing his identity to work for him. He knew he was a king before he became the king. And the way you know he knew it, because he was always in situations where you're supposed to die, and he wouldn't die. I mean, go check the history out. I mean, he would go into situations where everybody else dies, but he comes walking out like ain't nothing touched him. Because he's been anointed to be the king. Somebody's going to track here shortly. And when you get under the spot where the glory falls out, you're going to get the same boldness. And that boldness is the product of you hearing who God says you are. I think I'm going to be hanging around a few more days because the Lord's given vision and I can see some things that he's given me to see. He ain't through with me yet. I may look like I'm old, but inside of me there's a warrior. I'm kind of like Caleb. Amen. He was 85 and he said, look, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. Give me my mountain. I know who I am. I know. I'm not guessing right now. And I get to see the glory of God because I'm still breathing. I can hear, and he keeps telling me his plans, and I can be a part of them now, today. And that vision gets bigger and bigger. 1 Samuel 17, 20. So David left the sheep with another shepherd, and he set out early the next morning with the gifts as Jesse had directed him, his dad. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield, and shouts and battles cry. Soon the Israelites and the Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left the things with the keeper of the supplies and hurried out in the ranks to greet his brothers. And as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away and within fright. Have you seen the giant? The men asked. He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. Now, you ought to pay attention. God's got rewards for kings. You check out this reward. He will give the man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempt from paying taxes. That's a king's reward. Are y'all tracking? David gets his signal. Oh, king's reward. I'm a king. Nobody else sees themselves in that identity. They should have, because God wanted to make all of Israel kings. Amen? He gets his signal. Oh, this is another confirmation. And so in Verse 26, David asked the soldier standing nearby, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? I mean, his boldness is like right out there in front. He ain't running. He's still standing out there by himself. Like, what are y'all running for? They said, yes, that is the reward for killing him. But when David's oldest brother Eliab heard David talking to the men, he was angry. What are you doing around here anyway? He demanded. And he saw him anointed as king. Remember that. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. And David says, what have I done? I was only asking a question. And he walked over to some of the others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. I just got a good feeling today that somebody's going to ask the right question. And the king, capital K-I-N-G, is going to send for you if you'll ask the right question. Anybody tracking? But there's some signals that's being given right now in the spirit in this room that's letting you know, oh, God's tugging on me. God's letting me know I am special. God's letting me know he has a plan. Amen. And it ain't about the Jones keeping up with the Kardashians. That was good. We're not vying for position. We're not looking to rule over anybody and build our own self kingdoms. But I'm finding out that in God's kingdom, my daddy's kingdom, all of his sons and daughters are kings and priests. They are prophetic. They speak life wherever they go. And if you'll ask the right question, you're going to get the attention of the king, and he's going to send for you today. And you're not far as you think. He's right there next to you, waiting on you to be prompted. Amen. And as a teenager, he was a shepherd. David receives his identity. In his childhood dynamics, there were key surroundings that helped him step into his identity. But I want to challenge you today to note that there's three different groups of challenges or dynamics that you're going to face in your life as you develop into your true identity. Your true identity in God is going to be tested. It's going to be challenged. It's just the way God set this thing up. And so, how does David's enemies challenge him while he figures out how to walk in his identity? Please take note for the next few moments as I challenge you to know that you are no different than little David, amen, on the backside of a desert, hosting the presence of God, God talking to you, developing you in the spirit so you can actually slay the lion and the bear, amen, and get ready to face off, amen, on the ones that would defy the very church of the living God, amen. So Satan starts his challenge with David through his family, number one. Pause and let that sit in your spirit right now. The enemy challenged David's identity, number one, with his family first. And the brothers accused him of being arrogant. Why? David just asked a simple question. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is defying the armies of the living God? He asked the right question. And the question bothered his brother so much that it put them on the spot. David didn't have to say it. He said, how in the world is this pagan causing you to run and hide? Aren't you the children of Abraham? Didn't the promise of God to Abraham settle on you? Isn't this land from heaven to you? Aren't you to have dominion and authority in the promised land? How is the enemy causing you to run? He didn't say none of that stuff. But it's got them under a light. And all they know to do, ladies and gentlemen, come on, you know family members, they love you, but they're going to put you to the test. They get hostile with David because they've been put on the spot because of fear in their own heart. They're having identity issues with God, and the enemy is blaming David for it through them. This is so important. Family members will get hostile when you start going the right way to God. And don't we love our families? What did I do, David said? I'm minding my own business. And here I am. I'm just simply asking, how did this happen? And you're getting mad at me, and I didn't do anything other than what the Lord's called me to do. And that's to challenge any spirit that defies the armies of the living God. And so the brothers, the family members, are wanting to avoid the question by exposing their hostility towards David, amen, putting them in that position. And when we know what to do, others who are walking out their identity get jealous that are not walking out their identity. They get jealous. They get angry with us. Amen. When you start moving toward your true identity. But the beautiful thing is when you're in your identity, you can't be offended. You can't get mad. You can't get all knotted up inside and say, my God, man, what are you picking on me for? He did ask the question, what did I do? When he realized, amen, they were saying, man, you need to go back to your little sheep and study your sheep. Get back on the backside and do what you're just out here because you're too young and you want to see the battle go on. No, I don't want to just see the battle go on. I'm going to go out there and kick his end. Y'all can sit around if you want to. If y'all want to hide, that's fine. I can handle this. Come on, is anybody ready to get so full of God that you realize that in you everything is possible? You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. The Holy Spirit rushed up on that young lad, and he's standing there in the presence of God, and he's declaring something because the presence of God is saying it through him. It's time for the church to arise. It's time for us to get, amen, so excited about the fact that, you know, I'm not going to say anything but what I hear my Father say. And I refuse to do anything but what I see my Father do. Happy Father's Day, Jesus. When you know who you are, it's much easier to reject what your family accuses you are of or projects on you without getting angry and offended at them. You know, have you ever been called names before by your family? Have been called names by just people in general, which we know is our family. The human race is our family. Oh, you're not a good teacher. You're the worst teacher I ever heard. And so since you know who you are, you're not bothered by that because you pause for a minute and say, Lord, what do you got to say about that? And if you listen, he comes back and says, you exactly the way I made you. We got some wonderful things about to happen. You just keep teaching. You just keep building. You just keep loving. You just keep doing what I called you to do. Be who I designed you to be. Quit worrying about all these accusations and these intentions to tear down what, because the enemy's after your identity. If he can take your identity away from you, he can build his cause. He can build his kingdom. Amen. So there's some of you that you're going to stop going to bed at night beat up and frustrated, laying your head down on a bit, tossing and turning because you've accepted an identity from a lying spirit through people that you know is your family. People in your life that you work with. People in your life that you do life with. Amen. And it wasn't God speaking. It was the enemy trying to tear you down. What's going to happen today is all of a sudden you're going to get the kind of rest you need because God's going to remind you of who you are, and all that matters is what he says. Amen? So why do we often receive the hostility of others? It's because we don't have an identity. That's why you turn and toss at night. You don't have an identity. You see, kids get bullied because they don't have an identity. Bullies give children that get bullied an identity through anger and unforgiveness, forgiveness issues. You can't bully a person with an identity. When you know who you are, you might beat them up, you even might kill them, but you can't bully them because they know who they are. Amen? And this is the number one problem among our nation, our country, and we're accountable to it. We're responsible. God give us the responsibility to serve our country. Amen? To declare the truth. Our country needs an identity. Our country needs to know who they are. That's why we do what we do on Sundays. We do this on purpose. Secondly, the devil challenges David through his leadership. Not only does the enemy try to take your identity through your family, he'll take it through your leadership. Oh, this is good. Saul told David, "What makes you think you can fight the Philistine champion?" He'd been practicing since he was a puppy in battle warfare. What did you get the idea that you have what it takes to face him? And Saul was his leader. But you know, God don't repent over the leaders he puts in our lives. Did you know God's okay with every leader that you had in your life that mistreated you, that didn't understand you, that tried to show you how to do something that was contrary to your identity? He didn't have no heartburn over, but if the enemy can cause your leader, your mentor, those that are in your life to offend you, he just took your identity from you. And the moment you get heartbent and you say something derogatory about the mentor or the leader, the person that God puts in your life, you have just opened the door for the enemy to come in like a flood. And he can shake that water and that oil and make it cloudy and you can't see. I'm just telling you by experience, y'all. The enemy's the master of tricks. He's the best manipulator there is. You can't compete with him. If you put your wit up against his wit, you lose hands down. He's taking your identity from you. We need to experience the love of God every day, or we can't love our brother correctly. The moment I'm not getting what I need from heaven, I have nothing to give you. I can give you a stigma, I can give you an idea, I can give you just a slight idea of what it looks like to be religious, but you need me to be overflowing with the love of God. The experience of God's love is called spirit and fire baptism. It's not a one-time deal, it's an everyday deal. Do not be satisfied. I was born again in spirit and fire in 1974. And that was an awesome experience. But that experience in 1974 does not keep me today. What keeps me today is me and Jesus had a rendezvous this morning. Me and Jesus, amen, he got my spirit. He moved my spirit. That unction, that evidence of that river, amen, was inside of me. It was, but I knew, and I can always tell when he's going to love on other people because I'm experiencing his love. I've been made available to him. Somebody want to be available to the Lord today? Your availability, it makes it possible for God to fulfill his will in the earth. Your availability is what anoints you as the king and priest you are. I'm going to tell you, every time you make yourself available, spirit and fire comes. It's already there. What you're doing, you're stirring it up. The spirit ain't leaving you. He ain't forsaking you, but he's waiting on you to become available and stir it up until it's flowing out of you like a river of living water. Amen. Leadership challenged him. Doing things more often, more repetitive, does not move God to respond. Saul's saying, look, I haven't seen you out there practicing. I haven't seen you out there being tested with the other soldiers. I haven't seen you, earn your medal. You ain't even spent a day out here just to ring the bell if you give up. I don't understand how you think you can stand before. Anybody ever heard that before? How do you think you're going to be this for our community? How are you going to live up to this identity in our world? What made you think you can come against the voice of our culture that's coming in? And look, I'm just going to tell you, it's time for us to stop tiptoeing around the tulips. Got to be careful how I say this because I don't want to offend nobody. Is anybody? And so we become politically correct in the pulpit. I want to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and you can be sure I'm waiting on the Spirit before I go and do something stupid. But tiptoeing, being so cautious that I can't say what the Lord's saying because I don't want to offend anybody. The gospel is not pretty. When you check the gospel out, it looks like a cross, amen, with the Messiah hanging on it, and it's bloody and it's ugly. And when Jesus came, he was the gospel in flesh. And he was telling them, you're going to be the same thing. This is the message you're going to carry. Every time he challenged the people in his path, he had the right question. He wasn't patty caking nobody. Go find me where he patty caked anybody. Go show me a time when he was politically correct with his message. He told the truth because he loved them. And our world is so messed up and our society is so beat up and man, we're just tiptoeing around everything, don't want to offend nobody. We need to speak the truth in love. How do you speak it in love? Get filled with the Spirit and fire. Amen. The more we trust him, the quicker it moves us into our identity. Thirdly, and I close with this. Last point, Satan challenges David not just with family, not with leadership only, but with himself. Satan wants us to come fight him on his terms. That's why you want to stop debating the Word of God. You want to get over trying to prove a point in the Word of God. Amen. And I come up on Sundays, I just want to say what's burning inside of me and give it away. You can take it or leave it. And I don't mean that sarcastically. I mean that sincerely. When it's time for you to get it, you'll get it. Because we're praying. We're standing in the gap. We're making up the hedge. Amen. There's a prayer covering. God bless the prayer team and their passion to intercede. When it's time for you to get it, you get it. I just need to give it out the way God gives it. We don't come to the enemy on his terms and fight him. He's already defeated. He's walking material. We're not debating with the enemy. So what does Goliath try to do to get David to fight him? He wants him to come up close so he can get his hands on him. I'll feed your flesh to the birds of the air, to the wild beast. Get in here close with me. Let's do hand to hand. David don't fight on his terms. David turns to Saul, says, I can't use this armor. It don't work for me. I got something that works for me. And my identity, this works for me. I've seen this before, Saul. I beat a lion and I beat a bear. I've seen this before. And I'm going to tear him up too. And somehow his confidence and his passion, Saul said, man, go right ahead. Somehow, I'm convinced you believe you're going to take him out. I ain't heard nobody talk like this before. Are anybody ready to get your language correct about what you're going to do with the enemy? We ain't got time to be hanging out at the enemy's camp, committed to him and making an alliance with him. We ain't got time. This is the kingdom of God we're talking about. He's already defeated. And so if the enemy can get me close enough, Nan, I'll get offended. He knows. If he can pull me in a little closer, amen, I'll get attitude. I'll get angry. Oh, yeah, my wife has no ill intent in anything she does in my life, neither out of her. But she can say some things and do some things that bring up an emotion. for a moment there. Y'all track with me now. And the enemy's trying to pull me in to give her a Bible study on why we don't need to go this route. Oh, that's tracking with somebody here. And the Lord is not interested in me giving my wife a Bible study on why she needs to not make me offended. What he's wanting me to do is not let the enemy pull me in, but he wants me to ask him about, now, Lord, I got this emotion right now towards my sweetheart. What do you think about it? And he got something to say about it. And he's always going to work on the intent of my heart. And as long as I will stay in my identity, I can be a blessing to her. The moment I step out of my true identity into my other identity, all I do is beat her up. And I look religious, and I look like I know what I'm talking about, but it ain't bringing life, it's bringing death. The enemy pulls you in close so that he can put a form of godliness on you. And you can go to church and clap your hands and say, preach it, preacher, but you're killing everybody around you. That's the worst level of spiritual warfare you can enter in, is when you get too close to the enemy's camp, because he's an angel of light. He goes to church and he will convince you he's Jesus. Is anybody tracking? When fear and faith mix, if you can't see, he's already got in. If you don't know where you're going, he's already got in. And all you have to do right now, and some of us need to really take a moment and ask ourselves the question, okay, when's the last time God spoke to me? And some of us need to take the time out and say, Lord, who do you say I am? Because some of us haven't heard it yet. He's been saying it, but your ears have not been tuned in. It's one thing to say that I'm a king and a priest because the Bible gives me kind of a strong indication that I'm a king and a priest. That's one thing. But when you hear it, it's another. When you hear it, totally changes the playing field. Somebody's catching that right now. And we're at a place right now where we need to pause and open up our spirit and ask the Lord, okay, am I offended with some people right now that I'm not aware of? And some of you, if you listen, you're going to find out you are. Because he'll let you know if you get written. The moment you tell the truth about where you are, the moment you tell the truth about where you are is the moment he'll tell you a truth about himself that pulls you into identity. But if you don't get honest with where you're at, you don't get real with where you're at, you can't move into your true identity until you do. You got to tell the truth. And I'm not talking about giving a Bible study to somebody. You got to be honest with you. Tell the truth about where you are. That's why God's creating the kind of family dynamic here where we're getting honest with one another and we know it's a safe place. And we're saying, look, I need you to pray because I'm finding out I don't have what I need and I need to get it. And this is where I'm at. And you're finding out, oh my goodness, he's like a hen that gathereth his brood to himself. He is the cleft in the rock. He is the covering that we all need. There's some things that the Lord spoke to you about when you was a kid, when you was before 10 years old, even into your teenage years, that God spoke to your spirit that you forgot. And the Lord wants you to pause a minute right now and start asking the Lord, what is it that you spoke to me about that I didn't get then? It didn't register. And start agreeing with him as he speaks it to you. Anybody catching this? If you're not hearing like you need to hear, some people say, man, Pastor, I just ain't hearing. I can't hear. Well, then you need to come up and let me pray with you. Prayer team, come on up. Because you're dealing with some offense issues, some forgiveness issues. And until you clear the offense and the unforgiveness out, your ears are going to stay stopped up. The Lord cannot, He will not fellowship with you when you're holding your brother or sister in prison. But you don't understand, Pastor, they did me wrong. Let me help you. You did him more wrong than they ever did you. If you got up today and you didn't let him become Lord of your life this morning, you told your Heavenly Father, oh, I'm the God of today, not you. And I'm going to live like I want. You rejected him long before they ever rejected you. Is that tracking? If you really want him to have a happy Father's Day, let go of your brother and sister. Release them. No father likes their children fussing and divided. I'm not a real good father, but I didn't like my kids fussing. I didn't like them. If they did that, I'd make them kiss. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're going to have to give them a good smooch if you keep this up. Man, okay. Think I can release them. Look, he requires us to embrace one another. It turns him on when we love each other. If you're not hearing the Lord regularly, you got to get the offense out. In Jesus' name. And if you don't know what to do with it, you got family here that understands. And we're ready to go with you on this journey of unlocking prisons and letting people in your life out. And your ears are going to tune in. You're going to hear something. And next thing you know, you're going to stop Jesus in his tracks. He's going to call you his son. He's going to invite you to come go with him with his spirit and fire. And you're going to see like you ain't ever seen before. And without vision, you perish. If you can't see, if water and oil can get foggy, that's your life because you've let the enemy come in and manipulate your way of seeing. You're blind. You can't see nothing. It's time to let him in. Could we stand? Father, thank you for this word today.